I hope I'm right. Okay. Micah in your Bible. After Jonah, Micah. And we have a nice new family in the church today. Whole family here with three children. Farrell is their name. And how wonderful. I think they say in the car that they are moving. They are moving from the place where they live. The road in the car, we are moving. Oh, Farrell. Farrell. Is your friend Farrell? They sit over there. Yen. Oh, that's what I thought. I said, I don't think they are Spanish, but you never know. In Argentina, there's a lot of Japanese people. And then the girls marry and they get the Spanish name, and they tell you the Spanish name, and they look like Japanese. And all right. Okay, so I had to find out. I think then they did not feel a car. They did? Okay, I had to ask the ushers if there's no other car. Wayne has one, but from the Farrell family. Any other? Okay. Oh, all right. And if you can pass me the phone number, I call them. It would be nice to call them. All right. Micah is our book today. And the title will be here, The Messenger, as you see it. Now, in the introduction of our series of studies, in the series progression, as I brought a flash, one book after the other, I review with you the meaning. Genesis, the seed of the woman. And Exodus, the Passover lamb. And Leviticus, the high priest, or you can say the sacrifice. Numbers, there was a raising serpent over there. And the book of Deuteronomy, to this man you will hear, the prophet. And then Joshua, the savior of our soul. Judges, the judge and lawgiver. The book of Ruth, the kinsman redeemer. All right, you got it, Greg. And then the book of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. He prays, so he's the intercessor. All right, 1 Kings, 2 King, 1 Chronicle and 2 Chronicle, which are the same books, the reigning king. And then Ezra, he was a scribe, and then Jesus, the faithful scribe. Nehemiah built a wall, and so we say that Jesus was the builder of the world. And Esther, there was a great man in the book, Mordecai, and Jesus is greater than Mordecai. In the book of Job, the healer of our soul. In the book of Psalm, the shepherd of Israel. Then in the book of Proverbs, the wisdom of God at the very beginning of the book. And then Ecclesiastes ends with, there is nothing more greater thing than the fear of God in Jesus. Son of Solomon, the Christ, the bridegroom. And then Isaiah, the Messiah of Israel. In the book of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. All right, thank you, brother. Daniel, the king of kings. And then Ezekiel, Jehovah of the Old Testament, Ezekiel and Daniel, the king of kings. Hosea, the eternal husband. And Joel, the day of the Lord. Obadiah, the great foreign missionary. And Jonah, the savior of our soul. And Micah, today, the messenger. Okay, I think we got it. The book of Micah today, and discussion and relationship to the Lord Jesus. All right, we're going to into the first section, which is the general information. Now, we know this, so I want to ask you a question. Luke 24, 27 talks about what? I know that talks about in the volume, it talks about in the scripture, speak of me. But Jesus was talking to whom? 24, 27. How many people talking? Two people. And where those people came from? From Jerusalem. And what those people saw in Jerusalem? They saw the crucifixion of Christ. Were they coming happy to Emmaus? Were happy talking? No. Who joined them in their walk? Jesus. Did they recognize Jesus? No. So when we are happy, we don't recognize anything. When we are unhappy, we do not recognize anything. No. We don't make decisions when we are unhappy or we miss it. All right? That is important. All right? And so Jesus talked to two people. What did he told them in Matthew's and Luke 24, 27? What did he said? Come on, guys, to wake them up. What did he do? He opened the scripture. Remember that. He opened the scripture. Now, with the next reference, 24:44, Jesus talking to how many people? 11. Who were they? The apostles. Were they distressed? Certainly. What did he say to them? Okay, they can find him in the scripture. Now, in John 5:39, Jesus talking about a group of Pharisees. And what did he, first he commend them. He commend them. He said, oh, you guys, you really want to know things. And you are wise, he said, if you look in the scripture, because the scriptures speak about myself. And then the final and wonderful that we even mentioned this morning, in Hebrews 10:7. Jesus is found where? In the volume of the book. I like that word. Many Bibles, you know, if you don't use the King James Bible, you don't find the word volume, and you find the word book. But they are extraordinary words in the volume of the book. I have a chance to talk to somebody after the service who handed me Catholic papers, and I say, you know, you find Jesus in the volume of the book. And how do you know if the non-canonical books in the Bible are there or not? By reading them, and they don't say anything about Jesus. If it's a book inside the Bible, and the book of that Bible doesn't say anything about Jesus or God, then it's not in the Bible. And so here it is, Jesus is found in the volume of the book. Now let's go to the book of Micah and all these. And personal background. Now, number one in personal background is the name. Let's look in verse 1. Micah chapter 1 and verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Micah with age here. In some parts in the Bible, you find Micah without age. And the Moreshite in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, king of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. So Micah deal with Judah. The kingdom is divided at this time. How many sections of the kingdom? Let's see the history of Israel. How many sections of the kingdom do we have after Solomon? Okay, David, Solomon, they were solid Israel. After that, we have the kingdom of? How they name it? Judah and Israel. There were two. So when you see here in verse 1, Micah witnessed to the kingdom of? Verse 1, Judah. All right, Judah. All right. And in Judah, you have Benjamin and so on. All right. And now his name is Micaiahu. See, we have his prime minister, the foreign ministry is Netanyahu. All right. Means with Jehovah, I come. Netanyahu. And here, Micaiahu, okay? And you can hint that he is something about Jehovah, all right? And me means who, all right? Remember, ma means what? Mana, what is it? Yeah? Remember, you read the Bible and you say, a manna came from heaven. Now, God did not name manna. The people saw it on the street. Remember the little piece of bread and say, manna, what is it? Ma, what is it? And here is Micaiahu. And Micaiahu is one, me. If I want to say, who are you? I say, me, all right? And Micaiahu, who is like unto Jehovah. Let's see how that matches Jesus. Let's go to Matthew 1 and verse 21. Ever see somebody, Micaiahu, one who is like unto Jehovah, all right? Let's see in Matthew 1:21. When they name Jesus, that clicks together, all right? Who can read this for me? Mr. Noriel, you got Matthew 1:21? Yeah. You can read it for me.
And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people
from their sins. Now, a little bit background on the name Jesus. Jesus is the Latin name for the name Jehovah. Jehovah. Joshua, well, Joshua is Jehovah. So, and that means he is my Savior. See? And so here you have Micah, one who is like I, Jehovah. And then you have Jesus, who is Jehovah. All right? All right. Number two, we have the name. You can see that the man is wonderful. And he is from the cities of Moreshet. Sorry to tell you that there is no more reference in the Bible about Moreshet, but if you have a map And I want to find out how we're going to insert the map over there and look at it. It's on the foothills of Judah. So Moreshet, the city, the geographical location of Micah, is Judah. And the Bible said that our Savior will come from? Remember when God, when Jacob blessed the tribes in Genesis 24, he has Isaac, and then Jacob is going to die by Genesis before Genesis 40 will be 48, and then he blessed the brethren, and he said the scepter will come from, I mean the kingdom will come from Judah, from Judah. All right, and here is this man from Judah. Okay, the word scepter means the command of the king, all right? Okay, we have his personal background. Micah, his name is, who is like unto Jehovah? Jesus is Jehovah. Moreshet is from Judah. Jesus was assigned to be in Judah. Now, chapter 3 of Micah, in verse 8. Look at the anointed of Micah. All right, chapter 3, verse 8. But truly I am full of the power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. All right? So both. He wanted to hit both sides of the fence. Now, he was anointed, baptized, okay, indicated by who? Look at it again in chapter 3, verse 8. Who anoint Micah? The Spirit of God. All right. Let's go to Matthew 3, verse 16 and 17 to see the anointing of Jesus. All right. And let's see if somebody had that. On Matthew 3, 16 and 17, remember, the Spirit of God anoint Micah. Jimmy, you got Matthew? Okay, go ahead. So who anointed Jesus, you think, Jimmy, according to that verse 16, 17? Who came down? Oh, God. In what form? What form came God? Yes. A dove. And the dove was representing who, Grace? Look at it again. What words over there? Yes, yeah, good. What word? You got it? 16, 17? What word was there, Grace? The dove came in. Read me that verse 17 again, Grace. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. You find it? 16. Read it, verse 16. Let's see. Okay, and so the Spirit of God descending like a dove. That's what a dove, you know, in some churches have a dove in the glasses because they take it out of that text and they represent the Spirit because of what happened, okay? All right, so Jesus was anointed by the Father. He was appointed. Actually, the Bible points three times, two in the Gospels and one in Peter, that Jesus, the voice of God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So you can see the relationship and the pictures already in the personal background of the prophet. Now I'd like to go into the message of this prophet. And I divide it in two. If you go back to chapter 3, verse 8, you will notice that the first message was a message of judgment. Let's read it. Micah 3 in verse 8. But truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment. All right. And why would a prophet come in and said, I'm going to judge you and I'm going to bring a message that will destroy you? Why? Here's the reasons. Let's go and look on it. Okay. We see. We go to chapter 5 and verse 13. Chapter 5, verse 13. Thy graven images also will I cut off. And thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the work of thy hand. What is that called? Idolatry. Idolatry. These people have idolatry. See? All right. Let's go to chapter 2 in verse 13. Now, idolatry is a big word. What idolatry means, so the young people understand, what idolatry means, if you have to explain to somebody, what idolatry means. Some say, and when we talk about in Christianity, idolatry means what? Anything? Anything that takes the place of God. What can take the place of God, Jimmy? What can take the place of God in your life? I tell you what I did in my life when I was your age. How old are you, 11? Soccer. Yeah, I want to play soccer. We'll go to church, but I had to play soccer. See, that's the place of God. What else? Let me tell you. Shelley, what do you think takes the place of God?
Entertainment?
That's right. It's on the television. I don't care about that. That's also idolatry, all right? What else? Come on. What?
Job.
Your job. You can work here day and night, you know. I remember when I worked as an engineer, I said, well, if you work on Sunday, I give you double payment. Double payment? And then very soon, you need that money. All right? You do it. So you have to be careful. See, idolatry is not only just a picture on, it's anything that takes the place of God. All right? Okay. Now let's take the next picture, chapter 2, verse 1. All right? Chapter 2, verse 1. Woe to them that devise iniquity. Devise iniquity. What does that mean? Grace, read me chapter 2, verse 1 in Micah. Do you have Micah? Because I know that Bible is different. Do you have Micah? Read me verse 1 in chapter 2. Oh, good. Woe unto those who plan, see, devise iniquity. Woe unto those who plan iniquity. What it means, plan iniquity? What do you think, Greg? Planning iniquity. Pardon me? Say it again. Plan? How to sin. Oh, wow, that's deep. Plan how to sin. Yes. Yes. So actually, that's the heart. And you don't feel bad about it. That's the worst part. Very good, Greg. I can see your wheels going. Very good. That's good. That's good for our young people. That's how we use the evening service to share together, all right? The planned iniquity, all right? We don't need another preaching sermon. We need a dialogue. And planned iniquity is to plan to sin. Well, that's heavy because sin, you know, if I said to you, Jimmy, will you go home and sin now? Say, oh, no, I will not do that. But can you imagine planning to sin? How can we plan to sin? For example, how do we plan to sin? Young people, what do you think?
Plan
is stealing something. All right, that's good. What else? Simple, in home. How do you plan to sin in home? Your mother needs you, and you plan to say, next time my mother calls me, I will say, I'm busy. I say it once to my mother. And she did like this. She have, well, what is used now in America? I saw the women with fancy, we call suecos, the shoes. You know, the shoes do not have that part in the back. I don't know how you ladies call that kind of shoes. You don't have the heel part. It is all the beautiful, fancy, and you don't have this part here in the back. And my mother have one made in Norway, and the heels and the soil was wood. So I said to my mother, I'm busy. She did chick, chick, boom, boom, in my mouth. Two teeth came down, and I never say I'm busy again. You know, today we'll be in jail, my mother. But she saved me for being disobedient. All right? Or for planning to sin. Planning to sin. It's very serious to God. Very serious. All right, let's see what 2:1 says, because loaded, all right? Look, he said, woe to them that plan to sin and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand. See, they have the power to sin. Now, some people want to sin and they don't have the power, but some people have the power to sin. Now, who has the power to sin? Let's find out. Now, would the government of the United States have the power to sin? Certainly does. They can vote in the Congress laws that are against the law of God. All right? One of the laws of God is you need to work if you want money. All right? And they plan social things in such a way that people say, well, if I work, I earn so much. If I don't work, I earn a little less. And so they take that road on it, you know? And the laws were prepared there to help people, but people really misuse the laws. And so these people, they were really, Israel, were really wrong. Let's look in verse 2, what happened with Israel, verse 2. And they covet fields. What is covet? What is to covet, Maria? Covet. They want something, all right? Covetousness. What is another word for covetousness, Brother Jack? Covet is a good word, but they're hungry for something that, you know, they have something, but I want more. Pardon me? Yeah, greed, you know. Look, I have a nice Honda, plenty for me. But our brother drives a Lexus. Then I want his Lexus. That's covet, you know. That's the covet. That's true. That's what our heart does. Wait a minute. That's what our heart does. You know, we want more. Our brother have a nice Mercedes, your daddy, Shelly. And I told my wife, he said, he has a Mercedes. Who cares? You have a Honda. He said, oh, all right, this is finished. You know, don't let the heart go too far. Be tough on yourself. They go, COVID destroy us. Is that right? COVID destroy us. We want more. All right, more. I don't want Mike's car because it's 20 years old. But I tell you, that's what it is. All right, to COVID, verse 2. And they COVID fields. All right? And the government can do that. You know, the government have a law, they call it public domain or something?
Eminent domain.
Eminent domain. And they don't have it here, the authority, full authority here in Morning Hill. I check it in government status. Morning Hill do not have a status of declaring public eminent domain. But they can say, these properties, oh, we need that property. Oh, wow. You know? Pardon me? The county does. Okay. Now, look at here. See? Covet fields and take them by violence and houses and take them away. So they oppress a man and his house, even a man and his heritage. Now, that's Israel. Look at what they're doing. No wonder this man did this. Chapter 3, verse 11. The heads thereof judge for reward. What does it mean to judge for reward? To judge for reward. Brother Plika, you are a politician. What means to judge for reward? For reward. What do you think? For bribe. No? Bribe, personal gain. A bribe, see? So, okay, how this gentleman want you want to go? Here it is. You tell me. Woohoo! Put the money, okay? We call it money under the table, all right? Boy, they judge with money. You see, I told you this morning, this book is tomorrow newspaper, you know? And it's true. Look at Israel. And the government never saw that. The prophet of God saw that, all right? 3:11, look at, oh, man, that's loaded. They put me to jail if I preach this in the morning. The head thereof judge for reward, and the priest, now that's take my territory, thereof teach for hire. How a pastor, now this that's my feet, okay, talking about me. What do you think a pastor teaches by for hire? You know what hire is? It's for money. But what I will do then, if I only teach for money, what do you think I will do in my message, Brother Lee? Okay, let's put it more contemporary.
You might
I preach in.
The warm
wise message. A message that please everybody. Yeah. Everybody come in, and everybody think different, but everybody live happy. Just a democratic message. Excuse me. That's what the Democrat people do. You know, you listen, you read, and they please everybody, you don't know what they stand for. See, so if I preach without standing, see, if I tell our good friends, the Malones, I say, well, if you receive the piece of bread and the bread you think is Christ, will be okay for you. If I do that, that's oh, I want the Malones here. Oh, if I tell somebody, oh, I know you told me about this thing. Don't worry, God don't care. You know, I have to preach the truth. And the truth has only one way, all right? And I say it very, very emphatically. My wife was mad because I said, baloney. She said, oh, you scare me on the radio. You know, I guess I had the phone, I forgot, the microphone here. And I yelled like this, baloney, and came to the radio, baloney, big, you know. But it's true. If somebody say, I am the only exclusive agent from God to tell you something, escape that, okay? All right, now let's go to chapter 6, verse 11. All right. Wow, these people were really off. Chapter 6, verse 11. Pardon me? Sounds like America. Chapter 6, verse 11. Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances and with the bag of deceitful weight? What that mean? Huh? These are terms of legal terms. Wicked balances. You know what? Wicked balances is very bad. And so they, like Israel had now, I come with merchandise and then they have to weight it. All right. You saw when you drive, maybe you people do little to drive far away. You saw what they call it, the scales where the truck stop. Now in America we got smart. You saw on the freeway a little hanging like this. It's a computer that reads the truck and weights the truck. And so when the trucks come in, they know everything about it. See? So sometimes the police I went and visited with them, and they showed to me. And the truck was coming in, and they know the chauffeur. And they say, okay, keep on going. They send a signal to their computer, keep on going. And that's weight and everything. But you know why? Why do you think they had to weight the truck? Why? Because of stealing. Stealing, see? They will load the truck here, and they will, the truck is for so much weight to carry, and they will carry more, and they do this for a friend, and they get the money in the bucket for bringing this to them. So it's a mutual protection to this, all right? And so here what it is, this is an old practice, all right? Chapter 6, verse 11, they were unfair in their business. Let's put it in this way. They trick their business, all right? And so that's very bad. And so they said in chapter 3, verse 8, I will bring a message of judgment. What kind of message will be then? I bring a message of judgment. What kind of message that will be? What he will say? Will say what? You're wrong. You're going in the wrong direction. The people, you have to change. All these things are bad. This is not the way it's supposed to be. All right? Secondly, B, it's also a message of hope. That's wonderful. And that's verse 1 and 2 in chapter 4. But, thank God. Remember, I made a big deal this morning about the word bad? Here's another word bad. But in the last days, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his path, for the law shall go forth of Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. All right. Now here is the hope. All right. We come to the next one. Okay, here's the reason. All right. Remember that we read over there on the last days? Let's find out when is the last days. Hebrews chapter 1. All right. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 1 and verse 2. Now remember, we read in Micah, on the last day there is hope. When is the last days? All right, listen to Hebrews. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now the last days is from what period to what period according to this? Hath in these last days spoken by his Son. So the last days in the Bible starts at Jesus and keep on until he comes again. And so the book of Micah is saying, on the last day, things will change. In other words, when the Savior will come, people will want things from God because the Savior will teach it. All right, there is hope. All right, secondly, Matthew 2, please, Matthew 2, verse 5 and 6, talk about a king coming, all right? Matthew 2, let me see, I'm in Matthew 26, Matthew 8, Matthew 6, I get there. Matthew 2, chapter 5, it's about chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem and the land of Judah are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor and shall rule my people Israel. Now remember, Micah came out of Judah, and so he's making a big deal for Judah. He said, out of Jerusalem, out of the land of Benjamin, is going to come a redeemer. Who is talking about? Who's going to be that king? If you go to John's Gospel in chapter 18, you find in the words of Jesus, and in verse 36, John's Gospel 18, and in verse 36, that Jesus said that he is a king. Listen to what Jesus says. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. That I should not be delivered to the Jew. But now is my kingdom not from hence. So Jesus is the king. My kingdom is not of this world. And so the wonderful reason of hope is that we have a new kingdom coming, which we are in this era, and our king is the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing else. And one more thing I want to show you. Micah in chapter 6, in verse 8, here is the new standards for life. New standards for life. If you ask yourself, what does God require of me? Micah 6, 8, respond to that. Look at this. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee? What does God want from you? Number one, to do justly. Number two, to love mercy. And number three, to walk humbly with God. It's not just a wonderful text. It's simple text. What does the Lord want of you? To walk humbly with the Lord. You know, this morning I heard, early in the morning, a preacher, preaching television, Errol is his first name, from Houston, big church, 3,000 people. He said, my sermon today will be on pride. Raise a hand those who have a problem with pride. And about half of the congregation raised the hand. So he said, well, my sermon is going to be for those who do not raise the hand. He said, my sermon will be for those people who do not raise the hand. In other words, those people who do not recognize the problem about it. And the beauty of this is this. The greatest standards of God are there for us. First, to do justly, to do what is right. And then... look at in verse 8, to love mercy. What means to love mercy? You know, to love mercy is if your brother take you something from you, don't go and hit it in the head. Just say, darling, I need it, well, give me later. You know, in other words, somebody may deserve something, but you withhold it because God had mercy on us and he withhold what we deserve. See, that's not something nice to learn, to control yourself from doing something that you are right. You have the right to do it, but you don't do it. Because of your love. Man, that is great. That's absolutely, to love mercy. And to walk humbly with the Lord. What does that mean, to walk humbly with the Lord? Pardon me? Obedience to the Lord, that's good. Because you obey him. To pray, that's a lot of humble things. Because we pray for the Lord. We know we cannot do it. So we humble ourselves and we ask the Lord to do that. All right? What else? To walk humbly with the Lord. All right. Yes, great. Pardon me?
Be a
servant of the Lord, that's right. Serve him is good, all right? To walk humbly with the Lord is not to think of yourself, Romans, you study Romans in chapter 12, by verse 3, 4, or 5, said, not to think of yourself more than you ought to. In other words, you have to have a self-control. People say, you teach good the Bible. I just say to myself, I just teach the Bible. Let God say if it's good or not good. Because the moment you are thinking, I'm the teacher, that you're gone. I'm the only one who teach this, you're gone. So you just teach. Yeah, you like that? You do it like this and like this, okay? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you that Micah showed to us that even the book of Micah is tomorrow's newspaper. How beautiful is your Bible. How gorgeous it is. The people do not change. They're all the same. And we need to be under your control. Help America, oh God, to be under control. And help this new Congress to pass laws that they are proper and they are God-glorifying. In Jesus we pray and thank you. Amen. Amen. All right, we have fun, eh? We have fun.